Attention. The National Weather Service has issued a hurricane warning for the entirety of the National Hockey League. Please stay tuned for further information from the Storm Cellar.
Welcome back to the Storm Cellar. The trade deadline is done. Everybody's, well, I don't know if everybody's like hearts and blood pressure and everything gets back to normal, because it's not the second season, as we call it in hockey, when we go to the playoffs. But there is something different about post-trade deadline than pre-deadline, Ray, particularly if you're buying and not selling. I think that's fair, right?
Totally fair, because buying and selling, the trade deadline, I think there's this, everyone at the end of it exhales, right? It's like, because everyone's kind of tensed up. They don't know where they're going to move to, if they're going to move. Strange things can happen. Hurdle to Vegas. Like, no one saw that coming.
Vegas has like 30 million or 28 million in LTIR money. They have like half a team on LTIR again.
Work in the system, I guess. So there's so many things going on everywhere, but now there's that need to refocus on the stretch run, you know,
right?
Because you got to turn around, and now it's time to get down to business and things. It's like things get serious, you know, which they should have been serious all along, but you know, it's the rush to the playoffs, and there are a lot of spots that are up for grabs, east and west, and we're going to talk about all of it. But first,
yeah, we have a short agenda, so we can, you know, a little more deep dive than maybe we normally do.
But true enough.
Let's start Canes and Devils. I got to watch it after the game was over, so I knew the outcome, which it's kind of nice. Especially when it's like 1-1 for a long time, and you're like, "Oh, okay, I know how this ends. This is going to be good, right?"
Yeah.
So you saw him before I did. Give me your first impressions of Kuznetsov and how the team looked.
I'll tell you what, Kuznetsov, from the moment his first shift started with him at center, and it was a draw that he won ridiculously clean for an immediate snapshot that almost turned into a goal. And I was like, bam, that's amazing. And then the shift later, it was his whole line. He was part of a Harlem Globetrotters session where he was passing and dipping in and out with the lineup that he had just started playing with, making beautiful passes and moving the puck and moving himself everywhere. And the Devils just couldn't touch the puck. It was complete and total puck control dominance in that one shift. And I was like, wow. This is going to be great. Imagine, you know, and then I saw him on the power play, and in that first period, he went on the power play and he had the position that Aho normally took. And I was like, this is, that kind of caught me by surprise, because, you know, Fishy is great at the top, you know, working with Bernsey, and they're trying to, you know, make things move and stuff. Kuznetsov dropped into that spot like he had been doing it all season long with this team. You know what I mean? Like, he did not look out of place one iota. I really wanted him to pick up, you know, a goal. Even an apple would have been nice. He didn't. He was plus one, but he was a great plus one. He looked really, really good. And then I started, you know, watching the game, it was tight. I was imagining what it would be like if he's out there, say, with Gensel, or, you know what I mean? Like, because the passing and Gensel, who is a finisher, I was thinking, this is going to be great. this is going to be outstanding. Right. And he didn't look bad defensively either. Like, I noticed a couple of times where the man-to-man situation, he wasn't in on that. If it was, this is how in basketball, look at me doing the transition that I always do. It seemed like they were playing a box and one, except the box, everyone else was playing man and he wasn't in that first right. Like, he was around the front of the net taking care of, you know, taking care of the area there while everyone else was playing man to man. And then you go further into the game and now he's on his guy. You know what I mean? And now he's, it looked great. Kuznetsov, what a steal in the first game. And then of course the post game interview where he tells the reporters that he is very excited to get his first start at home, because then he will experience what it's like to not be in hell.
Yeah.
That was, you know, with the fans. What a great
quote.
That is
everything he said, even if it's fluff, has been spot on.
It has.
And been. I don't think it's fluff. I think he's just being him. I think he is. I mean, so let's recap for a second, right? And then I'll give some game thoughts. You know, a month ago, he is in the substance abuse program.
Yeah.
Right. Trying to make his way back. He comes back. He's basically waived right away, gets sent down to the minors here in the last couple of weeks. And then, boom, all of a sudden he's in Carolina on a cup contender going to the playoffs. Whirlwind, right? He's reunited with Orlov, who he played with in Washington, who's one of his best friends, from what I understand. And you can see it on the ice. Like, you can hear in his quotes, he's excited. He's like, this is my last chance. I have to do this. Like, now is the time. But I agree. Watching those, particularly yesterday, I was mostly watching Kuznetsov, right? I think a lot of us were, if we were, you know, on TV. And some of those, I remember in the first period, I think he was on the right side of the net. He passes behind him, like a no-look behind the back pass. And I don't remember who was in the slot. And I remember they totally whiffed it. And I go, well, they whiffed it because they had zero expectation that they were going to get a pass and that he was – not that he was incapable, but, like, that's just not – you know, we talk about too many passes, but, like, that was, like, an – oh, wow, that would have been part – like, that could have been nothing but net. Once they get used to him, in 2 weeks, I think that's a goal, right?
Yeah, they can now expect the puck to be on the tape there for them because he'll set it up.
Right. His vision is what impressed me most. He knew where to get. I mean, the reason it looked like the Harlem Globetrotters was because he was one of the guys and he knew where, you know, the puck should and shouldn't be going. And he just had the vision to say to, you know, he's half a step ahead is what it looked like.
Yeah.
And that's the player we know he can be. And that's the player he was a few years ago that they're hoping to get back. Right. That's why the low risk, high reward. That's why they got him. He won more faceoffs than he lost. That's not a strength of his. That's one of the you know, kind of tags on him is that he's not a great faceoff guy. I thought he did fine. And you have maybe one of the top two or three faceoff men of all time as your head coach. His faceoffs will get better. Look at Jarvis. Jarvis goes and works at it. Jarvis is excellent now. Right. Yeah. So I think that will continue to improve. And not to mention the fact that he flew in from on Dundon's private plane in the middle of practice, gets half a practice in, then plays a game and looked like he never missed a step, even though he hasn't played a game in weeks. Right. So I was really high on that. I thought overall the team looked pretty good. I thought both teams had some opportunities, right? That the post and the crossbar both got to work it out yesterday.
Yeah.
I think Aho had one. He sure had one. Hughes maybe had one.
He sure had two. It was,
or
there was
he
a
sure,
lot
maybe was
of
he sure had two. It was
there was a lot of clanking, you know, going on. That's wow.
Right. So, but overall, I thought a solid outing. That the Tavo goal right there at the end, like the face off to Tavo to end. 6-game, a very sneaky, I think, 6-game, 7-game, something like that point streak for Tavo. He's scored. he's getting our stick of the game. I haven't made the graphic yet, but we gave Tavo the stick.
Yeah.
And KK, I would prefer KK to score more goals. You know, they don't ask how, they ask how many.
Yep.
But on that one, it's kind of nice to ask how, because you're like, I mean, he needled it through maybe a 3 or 4 inch gap. I mean, the puck's 3 inches wide. It's what, yeah, 1 inch on end. The gap couldn't have been 6 inches. Through, it hits the post, back off of, was a Dawes, I think, a net, Dawes, and then into the net. And what a snipe, like, by the boy.
I'll tell you what, it was, that's the reason why we always say, shoot the puck, because seconds before that, seconds, literally, a 3-on-1 where the too many passes, you know, they did it again, didn't even get a shot. The puck, I'm yelling at the TV,
mm-hmm,
shoot the as puck, you should, guys, shoot the puck. Because you're on a 3-on-1, there's something going on. A lot of the Canes, they're looking for that super pretty one where it really only needs to be maybe one pass, not two or three. They don't even get a shot. Puck swings to the corner. KK's there, and all of a sudden it's in the net. You didn't even see the shot, really.
No.
You know what
I
mean?
You like, heard it and then realized it was in.
Yeah. And it was crazy. And it was like, that is the exact reason why we say shoot all the time, because you never know how the puck's going to go in, you know?
Right.
And he just threw it to the front of the net. And KK didn't even really celebrate all that hard. In his head, he knows, man, that was lucky.
Yeah.
You know, I just got lucky, right? And a fluke goal is a fluke goal, and he'll take it. Right. But he wasn't super excited. Make no mistake.
You know what? It just hit me. You know what it reminds me of? Remember the goal Paul Stastny scored in the playoffs last year? Also, like, from an incredibly, like, you're like, how did that go in?
Yeah.
And how did Paul Stastny do that? Not Aho or Svechnikov or somebody?
Yeah.
I think if you flipped it, it was on the other side. It was on the, you know, the right side of the goal, not the left. But, and to your point about the passing, Kuznetsov said yesterday, I have to understand there's a right moment in a game, so I don't make too many passes.
Thank you.
Like, he's not even been coached on what to say or anything yet, and he's already saying the right thing. So
he is.
Solid game. Obviously, we'll do a quick preview because we have a game today, right?
Yeah.
Back to back, which is good. Like let's get him in there, especially against a team like the Flames, who we'll talk about in a few minutes, are fighting for their life in the playoffs. But
they sure are.
Real quick, the team who must not be named game was Thursday.
A
4-day breaks, typically, I don't like long layoffs for the Canes.
No,
I feel like
they don't either.
And that's anecdotally. Like, I'm sure Kane Statbrand could tell us, like, oh, you're wrong. This, you know, the numbers are really good or something. But a pretty decisive 4-1 victory over the Habs on Thursday, which is what you should do for a non-playoff team, right? I mean, they're not even close.
Put them down.
Shea gets a couple. Svechnikov gets the empty net goal. And then Stefan Nazan gets a really slick little backhand shot. And
Shea looked that great. Shea,
he did.
like that goal on the backhand where he just kind of stepped in. It was beautiful. That was a fantastic goal. And he had one taken away from him against the Devils. So having the defense starting to score, maybe Shea gets on a heater. That's going to be great. Bernsie still has work to do, like the turnovers and the, like, if there's a turnover right now from defense, it's usually Bernsie responsible. And that's just a matter of he still struggles getting that puck to the net. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he is just bouncing it off those shin guards and suddenly they're going the other way.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, Burnsy, we need you to a little more focus, get it through,
mm-hmm.
and good things happen. When he gets the puck through, great things happen. And that's what.
And happy birthday to Burnsy. I mean, the man just turned 39. He's still, has he slowed down? Yes. Is he still a stud? Yes.
Oh, yes.
Right.
Oh, yes. He's great.
Reminds me of me, right? Great. He's old, but still in top peak condition.
That, well, I was going to say that, and you took my chance to, you know.
Oh, I'll toot my own horn. I don't mind.
No. So. There you go. It's awesome. That was a great game. I wish it would have been more, but that's
Schadenfreude.
Yeah, that's my Schadenfreude kicking in. And that is what it is. But, you know, in that game, the team that shall not be named, they were so out of my mind because we were still thinking about the trades coming. And so the game ends, and some people switched from the game to the, you know, trade deadline. My eyes were really on the trade deadline the whole time. I mean, I watched the game, of course, but there was no expectation for a loss. I was like, no, sleep till Gensel. You know what I mean? That's how I was. I wanted that win. So, I wanted the game win, but I wanted the trade win too, like, and make the announcement. And we got it later that night. And let's take a look at this. You know, we did a special chat about this in a quick breakdown.
Fairly short.
And stuff. Yeah, but it was short. Let's talk about it. I'm very, very excited for Gensel to be on the ice, which could be today. We don't know. We don't know for sure because he was very close to coming back. Some people.
I heard the Rangers game.
And wouldn't that be perfect? Right. I mean,
right.
To have him ready for the Rangers game. And I've got thoughts about that coming game too. I'm going to ask you a question. We'll poke at that one a little bit later. But Ty Smith as well. Smaller defender, but who is offensive minded. So, and a little bit stronger on D. So
DW has a type.
Yeah, he does.
Tom Waddell has a type.
Doesn't he? So yeah, he wants offense from everywhere. And Ty Smith might be a guy, but clearly seventh, you know, and he might
he's been an AHL guy all season. But it's still a good pickup. I mean,
no question. Whether he's a black ace or not, it doesn't matter. The real focus was the landing Gensel for a reasonable price. Was, you know, did Dubas get fleeced?
It depends on what probably Ponomarev turns into.
Yes,
but
that's what
even
I was
like
say.
The best projections on, and if you want to hear more, definitely check out the episode we did after the deadline the other night. It's only 30 minutes. And it will be a little bit more in depth. But with Ponomarev, most people slot him as a bottom six forward.
Yeah.
I say middle six because I don't know. Maybe it's personality. Maybe I just like the guy. But I see him as a middle six forward. You don't give up Blake, Bradley Nadeau, or Morrow. And your first is only a first if you make the Stanley Cup Finals. And otherwise, it's the Phillies second that we got.
Yeah,
I said it was a fleecing. I'm not stepping back from that because I think it is. I mean, Ponomarev could turn out to be something special. You know, a couple of the other guys that were involved in the trade, they're not going to crack our lineup here. No. So I don't care if they're good or not because they were going to be good elsewhere anyway.
Yeah,
and you get a guy who, you know, he's coming back from injury now, but he's a point per game guy this season, as he tends to be.
Yep.
Granted, he plays with Sidney Crosby. He's a, an averages a point per game in the playoffs. And you're going to stick him with, I hope, Sebastian Aho and then maybe Teravainen, which, and if you think about it, Aho and Sidney Crosby, similar styles. Playmakers, they can score very yep. solid defensively.
Yep.
Which allows Gensel to go do his thing, right? It's the reason you need somebody like Svechnikov who can get back when you have Marty Natchez on the ice.
Because yes.
Natchez is not going to be the defender on that line. You nope. need somebody with him who can cover if necessary. And that's what you're going to get out of Aho if you put Gensel with him.
Yep.
That's what I would do. And maybe not start there, right? And we should have said that the other night is when we're talking about potential lines, I'm not saying start him on the top line, although I might.
I think he ends up, right?
It's like with Kuznetsov, right? You put him on the fourth line because he needs to get in the system and learn the guys. And everything we've heard about Gensel coming has been fantastic because I'm sure it's really hard for him to leave Pittsburgh, and Crosby's been there a long time. But, you know, even stories like he was on the bus and his main concern was like not taking somebody else's normal seat on the bus, which sounds kind of high schoolish, right? Like, oh, like that's my seat. But these guys are pros and they travel a bunch. And it's just easier, like when you know, there's a routine to things. And he didn't want to upset the routine. And that says a lot about him as a player and a person.
He thinks team
because
first.
He's thinking team first. Even and that doesn't mean not being selfish hockey with the puck, because that's maybe what the team needs is somebody who just is going to grip it and rip it. That's what we've been saying. And he can be that guy. So really happy with that one. The Kuznetsov, we give up a third. Washington's eating half his salary. He's a reclamation project. High reward, very low risk with him. If he turns out to be the guy we saw yesterday, a second fleecing for Don Lundell. If he turns out to be the guy that he was in Washington this year, where he's ho-hum and borderline, okay. I mean, that's, you know, the biggest thing is then, you know, what do you do about him? Because you do have him for next year. Does he have a resurgence then? But it's still low, you know, they're eating half his salary. You can move him, you can waive him, you can do a lot of things. It's not, you know, the money's not a big deal because we do have a lot of RFA, so restricted free agents and unrestricted free agents for next year.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to go, especially because it sounds like they definitely want to sign Gensel.
Yes.
They're willing to let him be a rental, especially if it brings you a cup, but they would prefer to lock him up. He's young, he's skilled, he fits in with the team. I don't want to lose in this, and we really didn't talk about it, I don't think, the other night, but Michael Bunting seemed to be one of the guys that they kept referring to when they said guys aren't on board, right? And for whatever reason, we don't know if it was an attitude problem or just couldn't quite wrap his head around the way they wanted to play, and he got shifted around lines a bunch, so I don't want to place blame on him, but it was clearly in Rod's comments since the trade, he was one of those folks, right?
Yeah.
But he does Kane's corner, is signing things. I know Kenny Exact got him to sign his, you know, popcorn Zamboni.
I know, right?
And then the next day, he's like, I had no idea, right? And you got to feel bad for the guy because he's going from a sure playoff team and possible cup contender to...
out.
To golfing.
Yeah.
Maybe he's going to Primanti Brothers to have a delicious burger with french fries on top of it or something. or I've heard of Pittsburgh-style pizza where they, like, don't cook the cheese. And I don't know if that's a real thing or, like, an urban legend. But it sounds terrible. So I'm going to throw that out there.
There you go.
But I feel terrible for him because even Kuznetsov has said, like, he hasn't even had time to, like, sit down one-on-one with it and talk to his wife about all that's happened in the last 3 days, right? And he's got a game today, which means he probably won't even get to, like, sit down with his wife and talk to her until tonight or tomorrow. And
right.
And so for Michael Bunting, I saw yesterday on social media, had gotten engaged, and the Canes Wags threw her engagement party after he was traded, which A, says a lot about them, right? That they're, you know, they're close knit and, like, she's still family. But as two old guys who are kind of used to this and we kind of know the deal, like, I still feel for the guy. Like, he seemed to be an up and up dude. Personally, I feel, you know, you hate it for anybody. And I, you know, no offense, I'm glad it's Bunting and not, you know, Svech or Natchez or Drury or
Right.
You know, and he looked good with the Penguins, you know, practicing and getting out there. So I hope it's a fit for him, but you got to feel for the guy because, you know, that's like, you know, if you can imagine like a set up playoff run, cup contender, and then they're like, oh, by the way, you're going to a team who is basically out.
Yeah.
You do get to play with Sidney Crosby. I mean,
which is great.
You know, I mean, that's something, right? To say you've done that. And Bunty was on the top line in Toronto. So it's, I mean, he's got skills. It feels like just kind of a little bit of a bad, you know, a run of bad luck for the guy.
As hockey fans in general and Caniacs, we all kind of do it, some more so than others. You can forget that these players that you cheer for and every day in, day out are actually human. You forget the human aspect of they are super great on skates and play hockey and they play a professional sport, but understand they're still human and there's the human aspect of the sport.
Right.
They have partners, they have families, all of these things that change. It's not easy, right? It's difficult for everyone. And so, yeah, you could feel bad for him. And I think especially because of, you know, going from where he was on a contender to the Penguins, who they're down to less than 3%, I think, chance of getting in.
Yeah,
they'd have to almost win out to get into the playoffs.
Right.
That's got to be deflating because every player also very competitive. They want to win. They want their team to do well. You know, winning,
right.
It's better than losing. You know, like that's... sorry, I had to go to Bull Durham for that one. But
no, that's a view. I knew where you went.
There you go. So look, yeah, that was tough for him. But I love Gensel's team first kind of feel about him. We didn't get a diva. I'm not pointing any fingers, but you know. He's not a diva. He's a player.
Right.
And
right.
The people that have been saying, you know, Gensel's only great because of who he plays with. I'm sorry. You're wrong. You're just wrong.
Right.
Yes, there is a benefit to playing with great people around you. But great people around you does not guarantee that you're going to succeed. There right. are a lot of players that have been traded to great teams who have great line mates that end up being flops and moving on. Gensel is, I mean, he is a finisher. When you look at the value of Gensel to this team, just look at Sid knowing that he was dealt. That tells
right.
you everything.
Sid couldn't talk about it. Sid is like, that's not a question for me. And yeah. Don't forget, and we mentioned this the other night, both Kuznetsov and Gensel are Stanley Cup winners. So you bring in two veteran guys who know what it takes to win 16 wins in the playoffs, right? I mean, you can't do much better than that. It's
Recchi and Wait, anyone?
Right. And Pittsburgh has an 8% chance of making the playoffs, and in New Jersey 8.3. But I would not put money on that. You know what I mean?
No, I know.
That's according to Money Puck. That's, you know, and you bring up a good point just in general about the trade deadline. I think was it Ullmark from Boston who said, "No, I'm not going to undisclosed team far away from here." I think it was Ullmark.
Yes.
And then Patches in Washington. Turb basically said, "No, I want to stay here," because he just relocated his family and everything. So,
yeah,
you know, some of those older guys are like, you know, no, I'm not going to go chasing it, and I'm good where I'm at, and I want to do right by my family, and good for them too, right? So it's a hard time of year. for everyone. It's exciting for fans and frustrating for fans, depending on what does and doesn't happen. Nancia, Computer and Coin Online, asked this morning about, you know, what do I do for the rest of the season, right? Like before playoffs. And to kind of, I answered her question online, but to answer a question, you know, kind of here too for other maybe newer hockey fans is, you know, for me, now I start looking at how do the new guys fit in, right? Or have our needs been met?
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, if Gensel starts putting up points and maybe even Kuznetsov puts up points, huge, right? Can the defense 100%. Stay healthy? You start tracking, you know, when you see a goalie or a player slow to get up, like you get a little more worried, I think, and like, oh, okay, yeah. Let's, is this just a burner or stinger or is this something more? And then for me, and this kind of ties into what we're going to talk about next, is I start paying more attention to other teams, specifically potential first round opponents.
Right.
Right. So right now the Hurricanes are second in the Metro. We're 4 points behind the Rangers with the same number of games played. So it's just a race, right? Whoever wins more, or, you know, Hurricanes need two more wins than the Rangers, but so be it, mm-hmm. which means for the playoffs, most likely, and I don't know what statistically what it is, but way over 50%, I imagine, Hurricanes are likely to match up against the Philadelphia Flyers for the first time in history in the playoffs. So, you know, I start watching the Flyers a lot closer, who they're on a one game skid, but they're 4-5-1 in their last 10.
Yeah, they've struggled,
which is great. Bit. Like if they peaked early, I that would be fantastic for us, right? The other teams that we would likely be see is, so we're not going to fall below the Flyers. I can't see anything that puts us third in the Metro.
No.
So all we can do is move up. We can't win the Eastern Conference, which would make us play wild card two.
Yeah.
The best we could do is win the Metro, which means we would play the wild card one team. And there's basically three teams vying for that now. Well, four. The Flyers is one. Okay. So we've already talked. So I'm watching the Flyers. Tampa Bay is currently in that spot. They are 4-5-1 in their last 10. They're not playing great. The Detroit Red Wings are in wild card two. They're 5-5 with 5 losses in a row. They're not playing great.
They're free falling.
And the one team that might be sneaky, and I've said before, I actually like this team, and I hope they get in the playoffs. I hope they knock out Tampa or Detroit. The New York Islanders are on a 5-game heater. They're 6-2-2, which is a hair better than the 7-2-1 Washington Capitals over the last 10. But the Islanders and the Capitals, both, it's low. It's like a 20% chance or something. Let me actually look it up here. So wow. Chance to make a 20% chance for Washington, but a 42% chance for New York, the Islanders, to make the playoffs. And that's a legit chance, right?
Oh, it totally is.
You know, the Caps are only a point back, but I think those stats in part are based upon things like goal differential and who's hurt, and they just, you know, how does the team look in general? So I'm watching the Flyers. I like watching the Islanders anyway, if I'm being honest. You know, Lightning and Wings, maybe some Capitals, depending on how they play these next 3 or 4 games.
Yeah.
And so my focus starts going toward, you know, season 1B and what's the playoff picture going to look like. So hopefully that answers her question. Tell me about the Eastern Conference from your perspective, and then how do you approach hockey post trade deadline, but before the playoffs?
Well, for me, and I'll start there. I'm now laser focused on how the new players fit in. Are they going to be able to do the adjustment to Rod's style and the system that we're in? They certainly love the culture. It's a winning culture. The guys, everyone likes being in that locker room. You know what I mean? As opposed to the away locker room, which is said to be the worst in the league, which is fine by me, because who cares, right? But moving on.
Strategize.
Exactly. I want to see everyone fit into the roles and find that synergy with their new line mates. That's my laser focus, is really on that, more so than even the, I mean, I always want to see victories, right? But knowing that we're pretty much, we're a lock for the playoffs, I don't see us falling out. I just want to see them playing well and getting ready and starting to play playoff hockey, to be perfectly honest. Like, that's where I want the team to get into playoff mode right now. Like, right now.
For people that are newer, Ray, define playoff hockey. Just what, when you think playoff hockey, what changes, right? In 2 minutes. Yeah.
Playoff hockey for me is, it's more physical. It's more, I say my own laser focus, but players are more intense all around, right? They're quicker to the net. They go hard. They don't take crap from other guys. Like, it gets chippy a little bit, and you got to be able to take and give at times. You got to be more focused about not taking penalties, right? Like, it playing smarter, mm-hmm. playing tougher. And, you know, it also, you worry about the injuries that go into it as well. There's just finding another gear, and there's no one that who watches the game who can deny that there is a regular season gear, and then there's a playoff gear. And you just amp things up a little bit more. You're a little bit quicker. You're more willing to go into the corners to fight for pucks, right? That's really where it is. Less drop passes to no one, please. Like, that's really what I look for in playoff hockey. More physical, right. Quicker, smarter, and more aggressive.
Right. Less feeling things out and more emphasis on fine tuning. Mm-hmm. And expect things to start to get chippier between teams, especially teams that are playoff bound, although not exclusively, because players, particularly, even if the teams don't necessarily, players in the NHL like to play spoiler.
Oh,
so, no question. You know, don't expect the Buffaloes and the Anaheims and the Coyotes of the world to just give up. Like, they're going to come at you. And sometimes harder than you would want. You know, you would think, okay, they're out, they're not going to try hard, they're going to collect a paycheck, but most of them don't. I mean, these are all, you know, these are all type A personalities. Like, they want to go out there, and if they can ruin your night, they're more than happy to do it. Like, that's what they're playing for, right? They are still playing. So
no easy nights, no nights off, no matter how far down in the standings they are. No nights off. And that's the other thing that I'm looking for, is I'm looking for the team to be playing Carolina Hurricane hockey. We know when we say that exactly what we mean, and we want it every night, and we want them showing up for all 60 minutes too. No time off, foot on the gas all the time.
Yep.
And it's a lot to ask. It sounds like it's too much to ask at times. Because, again, the human element, some guys are going to have off nights, but I don't want to see it.
Right.
They can have the bunch of off nights after we win the cup, and that's grumpy. It's Statler to your Waldorf.
Take half a season if you need to. After, if you lift the cup, then take off October. I honestly won't give you any criticism, right?
Not at all.
So what do you think about the race in the East? I mean, The Atlantic, I think, is pretty well set. Panthers, Bruins, Leafs in the top three, 92, 91, and 82 points, respectively. I think Rangers and Hurricanes are set. So it's just right the bottom of the Metro, the Flyers, and then, but their closest talent competition is the Islanders, right?
Yeah.
Who have three games in hand and are 4 points behind.
You know what? The Islanders are looking stronger. One thing that I noticed, OV has awakened.
Right.
He's starting to get goals. And even if they're ridiculously easy, like one of the ones he got at the side of the net when there was, you know, no one in net, and the puck was on his stick and he scores, even on those, he's awake. So watch out where the Caps are. Like I said, they're 7-2-1 in their last 10. They look good. They're going to be tough, and they're fighting to get in. I think the whole wild card situation, there's really four teams. It is the Lightning, it is Detroit, the Islanders, and Washington. But I think the Islanders and Washington are looking at the third spot, saying that's the one that we want.
Yeah.
Even if it means that they're playing the Hurricanes, that's their key to getting in, because Tampa and the Wings, strong teams, but they're in the Atlantic. How is the best way to get in? I think getting, you know, that third spot, that third position is going to be key. I think the Flyers, they've really struggled. Last night they got pummeled by Tampa, 7-0. Tortorella gets kicked out of the game in the first period. It was like 10 minutes in.
Refused to leave the bench. I'm not leaving. I'm not a Torts fan, but he does make me laugh sometimes.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, when you can read his lips and he's like, I'm not going. I was just like, what does the league do? You can find him, but will it be meaningful? I mean, I assume not it'll be $25,000 or something. Max, like, they may do nothing because they go, it's just Torts being Torts, but you know, if a coach refuses to leave the bench, what do you do? I mean, I guess in game, could you start assessing bench minors?
I think you could. If he's not moving, you can sit there and wait all they want. But if you wait too long, then you say, okay, we'll send another guy into. And we'll keep going until.
Right. I was going to say, if I'm the ref, I give him a minute. And I'm like, fine, bench minor, 2 minutes. I'm going to give you 30 seconds until the next one. And we'll just keep going until you're out of players.
Yeah.
I don't know what else you can do. Because anything you do after the fact is going to be pointless, right? Fine him, but Torts has millions of dollars. Like, he doesn't care.
It was funny. There was a stat that said that over his career, I think he's paid $162,000 in fines, or I couldn't remember if it's 162 or 116. I can't recall, but it's a lot of money.
It's a lot for us, but like it's pocket change when your contract is for, you know, a couple million bucks, right? Not that it doesn't sting, you know, if I drop a 50 out of my wallet, like I'm still really upset, right? But
I'm with you.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but I just thought that was hilarious.
It was very funny, and it's just going to be interesting. The whole, I've said this earlier, perhaps it's distasteful, but I'm going to say it again. The cannibalistic style of these games going into the end, where you see the schedule, everyone is playing now their own division, now their own conference, and it's going to be, you know, tons of 4-point games, tons of swings going on. And that's what it's going to be like in the end, a big horse race down the stretch where everyone's shifting to make it to the final. And I would not be surprised if the way it looks today is completely different. I could see the Flyers dropping right out of the playoffs, Brad. I can see it.
I want to play them in round one too. Mostly because we never have. I think the stories are there.
Yeah.
Right. Primo, Brendan Moore trade and all that kind of good stuff.
Oh yeah.
To admit one of my own mistakes, I said watch out for the Penguins for the last few weeks based upon goal differential. I said teams with good goal differential make the playoffs.
Yeah.
The Penguins went from like a plus 25 or something to a plus 17 to zero.
Yeah.
In like 10 days.
crazy.
So
right?
if you wonder how things are going in Pittsburgh, you know, and Michael Bunting, I looked it up last night. He had the most TOI of anybody on the Penguins by like 2 minutes. He played 19 and change, and Malkin and Crosby only had like 16 and a half. So they threw him right in. So good for him. I hope that ultimately that does well for him.
And Bunting has the relationship with Dubas for pretty much his entire career, right? There's been a connection and stuff. So that's that certainly helped with the trade. And putting him on the ice in different positions, that's how they find out what he can and can't do. Right. Is he a penalty killer? Is he whatever? Like, maybe he wouldn't be a penalty killer in Carolina, but is he one in Pittsburgh? Everything has different moving parts. And so you just have to
totally
find
different defense,
out what
right?
he can. Exactly. So you want to find out what he can and can't do. So seeing him get that much playing time makes sense. It completely makes sense. It's going to be fun. Race to the end in the East. And just like it will be in the West.
I would say, why don't you start the West? Because I don't stay up and watch West Coast teams as much. I do watch highlights, but it's not the same thing.
Yeah.
You don't get all the minutia when you do that. So
when I look in the West, what I see, first of all, Vegas Golden Knights. Do we want to talk about this?
About I'm crossing fingers and toes they missed the playoffs after all those moves? Yeah, let's talk about that.
You know what? Sure. Because, look, they landed Hanifin out of Calgary, and then they land Hurdle. And they are, you know, Tampa, Chicago, they had all played the LTIR game, right? For cap space and all the rest of it, because the cap space doesn't count in the playoffs.
Sadly.
Yeah, and there's an interesting point that I'll get to with this. The Vegas, they wanted to reload. They were struggling to get in, right? Because they are the number two. They're wild card number two. That's surprising to me. Vegas is a good, solid club without all the shenanigans that they have going on. But then they build up to arguably, I used to say Carolina was the best defensive core. They can't say that anymore. Look at Vegas's lineup. And they add Hanifin. And Hanifin is not even necessarily going to be the top pairing, maybe not even the top two. Like, he could be, it's crazy, right? Super talented, very, very skilled, all of that money spent. And they're working the system, but we have to say we can't be upset about it. We cannot be upset about it. Their management is taking advantage of a rule that every team could take advantage of. Every single team can do it. If you can do it, then do it. If you aren't cheating, you're not trying.
Right.
Right. Like, that's really
ain't rubbing, you ain't racing.
Exactly. It's crazy. It's crazy. And this could have been stopped. All the GMs get together and say, you know what, enough of this LTIR thing. It would have been a stroke of the pen and done. And that,
I wonder if there's CBA implications. I wonder if, and I don't know enough about this, how the CBA could tie into that. I wonder if that has to be negotiated with the union.
I don't think it does.
All they need to say is the cap, you're not paying players in the playoff, but the cap still counts in the playoffs.
Cap still counts in the playoffs.
And that's all they have to say. And then this goes away.
Yeah. And then you don't see things like the Golden Knights way, way, way overspending the cap when you look at it for the playoffs. But that's not unlike a few other teams that will all be over. There's a few other teams.
Right. Tampa's the one who kind of started it, and they were the ones against it. They're like, no, this is a terrible idea. And the league did it anyway. And they said, well, fine, then this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
I mean, and it upsets me, but I'm not really, I'm like you. I'm not mad at them. I'm mad at the league for not fixing the loophole when they saw it coming, because good for them. If if Don Waddell had $20 million in payroll waiting to come back for the playoffs, I wouldn't be mad.
I wouldn't have been mad either. not in the least. Maybe someone, one of our guys goes down with a season potential ending hangnail.
Right. You know?
And then, does that mean we've got time to pick up someone else who'll fit in? Sure. Why not?
It's like, amazing how many guys feel better, you know,
the first week
of the playoffs. It's amazing.
It's
at least Mark Stone has a ruptured spleen this time. I mean, that's, you can't fake that.
No.
You know, because somebody asked me and they said, well, you know, we don't want guys rushing back from injury for the playoffs.
No,
I said, no, I said, I think you're thinking about it backwards. If I'm out and I tell my doctor I'm hurt, I can't go. It's a muscle thing. So I spent 10 years at emergency medical services. It's really hard to prove like a muscular issue.
Yeah.
You can x-ray it and things say it's not torn, but I can't prove it doesn't hurt. I can't prove you can't go. Right.
Freddie Anderson dealt with that in Toronto.
Right. So I can go to the doctor and say, look, I can't go. Like I moved my back this way and it hurts and I can't, they could medically clear you on their end, but you can stay out. And if you're the team, you're not going to push. You're going to be like, oh darn, he's still not ready. Oh, the cap ends in 3 days. I hope you're ready. Wink, wink. Like it's just too easy to do, right?
It is. It is way too easy. Anyway. When you look at the West, man, I'll tell you, there's a team that I'm looking at going, holy cow, I don't think anyone will want to play them if they make the playoffs, and that's Nashville. Man, Nashville is on a heater. Like
sellers to buyers,
absolutely. 9-0-1 in their last 10. They are just on fire, right? And they're pushing their way into the Central. They're in the playoffs for a lock. Calgary was on a big heater as well, despite losing all of those players that are being shown the door. They were on a winning streak themselves until last night. They kind of got pasted by, but they're pushing hard. I mean, it's funny. There's still a chance for maybe a couple of teams who might be able to get in, but the West is more set than the East.
The East, yeah, it's
more set. I think, frankly, when you look at the lineups, you're just going to say, yeah, those are the teams that are going to be in. Just where are they going to be in all of this? You know what I mean? Colorado, totally loaded up. Again, they had a great trade deadline. The Jets got better. They picked up Toffoli, right? Which, if the Devils were thinking about getting in, shipping Toffoli out wasn't the answer. So
they were focusing on goalie.
I mean,
they need a good goalie, but not
that whole.
How can you be a buyer? How can you be buying a mid-level goalie when you should be selling assets?
The goaltender that they were looking for was not mid-level. They really wanted looking for Markstrom. They really wanted him. And I think they're going to go, all in on him in the offseason to get him. You know what I mean?
Which I think is a good move.
It would make that team something to watch for. Markstrom, as bad as he looked in the series against the Oilers, both goaltenders, you and I could have been the goaltenders for each team the way that went. One of the highest scoring fire wagon hockey series, a shooter tutor would have been a better goaltender than either of them last season in that series. This year, Markstrom is dialed in. Like, he is having a Vezina season. And it's sad that the rest of the Flames, they're not hanging him out to dry, but they're not, they haven't been on a real streak of any sorts. All season long, it's win two, lose three, you know,
right.
Win four. I don't think they even won four. They've never won four, I don't think, all season long in a row.
That's pretty brutal.
That tells you, you know, that tells you everything you need to know. Flames have been giving the fans fits around here. Make no mistake.
Right. Nashville, and they're the best team to catch the Knights. And I don't think they can do it. I mean, they're the Knights have, or the Flames have a game in hand. But
yes.
Calgary's back eight.
That's a
with
lot.
Less than 20 games to go is a lot. I mean, and the Vegas are 3-6-1 in their last 10, but Calgary's 6-4-0. And if you extrapolate that three more weeks, you know,
they can be caught.
That's 9 wins versus 18. Like, technically, you could do it, but all Vegas has to do is get a little bit better, and you can't catch them.
There you go.
Without going on, you know, a 6 or 8 or 10 game heater. The Blues, I think, are out. I mean,
yeah, I think so.
I don't see the Blues. They've lost 3 straight. They're just not playing well. The Predators are in. The Knights are in. You know, the next place the Knights could move up would be to pass the Kings, and they could do that. I mean, neither one of those teams is playing great, so Vegas could move up. You know, we'll have to see. The good news for the teams out of the East is, you know, a few years ago, the East was the conference, I felt like. It was like whoever wins come out of the East is going to win because they're just too strong. And this year, I feel that way about the West. Because between the Stars, the Jets, the Avalanche, the Canucks, and the Oilers, and I would throw the Knights in there because they just got a lot better, assuming all those players are back. I mean, luckily, we get to watch them beat up on each other.
Yeah.
You know, the Stanley Cup, we said it last year, it's really a tournament, a war of attrition. Generally, whoever's healthiest at the end has the best chance. And the West is definitely shaping up. The East kind of is too this year. I mean, you know, Panthers and Bruins at the top, Rangers and Hurricanes in the Metro. I don't mean to discount the Leafs, but it's the Leafs. And then there's the also-rans, right? You know, Flyers, Islanders, Capitals, whoever it's going to be. So, you know, Tampa, Wings, whomever. But
here's something to look at. And I took a sneak peek at this earlier. The strength of schedule in the games remaining, right?
Mm-hmm.
Washington, who we said, they've got a chance. They're playing better. OV's awake. They have the second most difficult schedule down the home stretch, right? Oof. New Jersey and Pittsburgh all have really difficult schedules. They are 6 and 7 worst. They're 7 most difficult, I guess. Mm-hmm. Then when you look at the easiest schedules, if for instance, if you're looking at who's got the easiest schedule, of course, we talk about the Canes all the time. We're 25. So as the analytics say, we have one of the easier schedules, like the seventh easiest. That's, you know, that's great.
That must be after this week. Cause we got some opponents coming up this week.
100%. Detroit got an easy schedule, like a really, the fourth easiest, right? So look, there's chances for movement. Calgary's got an easy schedule. New York, the Rangers, going to be tough to catch. They've got an easy schedule, not as easy as ours, but still easier. So they're going to be tough to catch. That means winning the games against the Rangers. Take advantage of the 4-point games, and we'll talk about that here in a tiny little bit. New York and Toronto, they're kind of right in the middle. Vancouver's in the middle, Boston in the middle. So really not much to make of there, but it's going to be great to see how things shake out in the end and who can do the most with what they have.
Absolutely.
And I just see, you know, I see a little bit of shuffling in the West, but the teams that are in are the ones that are in. today.
Yeah, I agree. I don't.
Or in Calgary, I just don't, you know.
Right.
If you're going to get in, you're going to have to beat us today. I mean, you're just going to have to win the games that you're not. And I just don't see it. No. I see the vibe in the PNC is going to be through the roof. Even if Gensel is not on the ice, when Kuznetsov steps out on the ice, holy cow. The fans are going to show him how much he's appreciated.
I bet they have Kuznetsov jerseys in the eye today.
I wouldn't doubt it. Not for a second.
And I'm going to top that and say, I bet if they do that, they sell out.
Yeah. Yeah. The Gensels too.
Yeah.
I wonder if there'll be as many Penguins jerseys when we play Pittsburgh. I wonder how many. I said this when we traded them and stuff. It's like, you know what? Maybe we can get rid of some of the ran Kaniacs.
The good news
cheer for Pittsburgh instead of, you know, us.
Yeah. The good news is we won't find out till next year because we play Pittsburgh on the 26th. It's away.
Oh, and so
no more home games against Pittsburgh. So we won't find out.
But you know what? Mark that one down because Gensel going back to Pittsburgh. Can you imagine the reception he's going to get?
Oh, yeah. That'll be a great revenge game.
Definitely watch that one.
There'll be a wonderful tribute, I am sure.
Over the top tribute. And I say a standing ovation for 3 minutes.
Minimum. Oh, nice. Nice. We'll have to put a poll up. Yeah, it'll be a big.
It'll be a big thing.
So today, in 5.5 hours, I think, the Calgary Flames are in town. And then, you know, Monday off, Tuesday, the Rangers come to town. First big test this week for our easy schedule, right?
Right, right.
Day off, Florida comes to town for our easy schedule. Day off, and then a back-to-back Saturday in Toronto, Sunday in Ottawa.
So here's something that I had marked the Ranger game on my calendar. You heard about that kid, Kempe?
Yeah.
The one that's on the ice and chucking knuckles ad nauseam.
The one who's going to have CTE at like 25 years old. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm wondering what the game is going to be like concerning Aho. I'm wondering if Lemieux is not in the lineup that game to make sure that no one tries anything stupid with Aho.
Yeah.
Look, they've got Trouba already, who's a fiend. And you know,
I think he got injured.
Oh, is he out?
I think so.
Oh, well, that, you know, not wishing ill on anyone, but.
Yep. Lower body injury, out 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm not glad he's hurt, but I'm happy he's not playing.
Yeah. There you go. That's probably the way to look at it. So maybe it not, maybe it won't be as bad as you think. But you know,
I mean, we've played there since the big incident, right? Like Ranger fans thought Trouba was just going to come out with the people's elbow and like just smash, and nothing happened. You know, I'm not any more concerned than I normally am for their dirty antics.
Well, I think, and my thing was Kempe, he's a kid trying to make a name for himself. And if he's throwing the body with big hits and all the rest of it all the time,
I definitely would think about putting Lemieux in, like you said.
Yeah. You know what I mean? If he wants to throw mitts and stuff, Lemieux will oblige him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I would do that.
The Florida game, Florida got better at the trade deadline as well. That's going to be interesting because the last time we played Florida, we had that beautiful 1-0 magnificent playoff style hockey game that we got the victory out of. This one's going to be in Florida, as I recall.
Nope, we're at home.
We're at home.
Yeah.
So another one at home against Florida, and we will have, I believe, Gensel in the lineup by that time.
We think so.
And so, man, that's another one. It's mark on your calendar. Do not miss hockey game.
Yeah.
Now you and I are do not miss any games. We watch them all.
Try to. Yeah.
But it's crazy.
It'll be chippy too.
Tough. Yeah, yeah. Toronto didn't do as much at the playoffs. A lot of people are cracking on the Leafs for not doing enough, I think, at the trade deadline. They're one of the ones that people really criticize, along with Vancouver, by the way, mm-hmm. who Vancouver didn't do really anything to get better.
Right.
But
their options to get better were very limited, right?
Yeah, 100%.
That's fair.
I mean, they were talking about flipping Lindholm in the to try to get Gensel. That was their involvement in it, was maybe flipping Lindholm, which they pried out of Calgary.
Right.
Not even a month earlier.
Yep.
So that was pretty strange.
The fact that that was the ask and we gave up Bunting, masterclass.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so.
And then we're in Toronto on the 16th, and we'll record with Computer and Coin there before the Ottawa game. But
yep.
So you have three home games: Calgary, Rangers, Panthers, and then Maple Leafs away. How many points would you expect to try and get out of this? Because, you know, one non-playoff team who's fighting for to get in, and three playoff teams.
In these,
I don't know how hard to sweep the schedule so low.
Yeah, in these next four games, I want 6 points. I believe there are 6 points to be
mm-hmm.
taken, but it's going to be tough.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's you can beat the Flames. You can beat Toronto. And then you can get 2 points between the Rangers and the Panthers.
Yeah.
I think those will be hard-fought points, but...
No question.
You know, and we kind of have mentioned before, I believe, but do you want to be... So, kind of a two-handed question, or two-sided, excuse me. You want to be first in the Metro, because then you have home ice throughout the playoffs, unless you play the winner of the Atlantic, who's going to be ahead of you.
Right.
But if you're the Rangers, or if you take first in the Metro, you're probably playing Tampa Bay in round one instead of Philly or the Islanders or some other. And some of it is you just take what you can get, right? If you're going to win the cup, then you got to play who you got to play. But I don't know. Well,
yeah, I'm not as concerned if we can't come up with, the division championship.
Mm-hmm.
It's been nice four straight. Am I correct in that?
Four straight.
We've had so
five would just be unbelievable.
Five would be outstanding, but not necessary.
No.
And when you look at it in the grand scheme of things, when you're going into the playoffs, whoever you end up playing, you're going to have to. It's not a cakewalk, no matter what. Team that can survive 82 games and be eligible to play for the Stanley Cup.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. They're all worthy. They're all worthy teams.
Right.
And you even actually should be more scared of the teams that just slide in at the last moment. Right. Because they are now energized.
Right.
They did the impossible that no one thought they were going to be in. Now they're in, and they're playing with house money. So there's no easy out. There's no easy out in the playoffs.
I like playing teams that you already have a hate for, right?
Yeah.
That would be the big thing about playing. Like, Tampa embarrassed you in Tampa this year. Oof. Like, that's one of those, like, oh, like, you know, they've had our number before. We need to stick it to them, right?
The Islanders, you know, there's a healthy rivalry there, so that would be cool. But also, like you said earlier, playing the Flyers, there's no history there. That's kind of exciting. And yeah, to me, the Flyers are, they, Tortorella has them playing Rod's style. He's got them playing Carolina Hurricane hockey.
Right.
With a Flyer twist. And I would love, I mean, those are going to be exciting games, not guaranteed wins. I mean, if we were predict it now, I'd say, you know, Canes in five or six. If I were to say that, like right now, based on, you know, but man, it's going to be tough. I would like to see that. I would like to see the Flyers. Vasilevsky scares the crap out of me. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Right.
You know, we get into that position and we end up playing Tampa. Like, Vasilevsky can be that guy.
We always hit the hot. Bobrovsky was meh. And then he plays us and he's just like phenomenal. And then he plays Vegas and he's terrible. Like, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
Just
yeah, how they turn it on and off, right?
Before we wrap up, congrats to Marty Natchez and Teuvo Teravainen. Both hit their 20 goal mark for the season yesterday.
So great. And, you know, I've cracked on Natchez a lot this season. And again, I'll say again, since the, I mean, he's done it a couple of times, the whole drop pass to no one and the, you know, too much fancy skating and stuff since the All-Star game.
I know those
game,
are your favorite.
Right? He just, it makes me nuts, but he is playing better. He is checking harder. He is getting, you know, he's being more responsible defensively. And that's what speaks to me. Those are the kind of players I like. I mean, there's some that just like the flashy, you know, goal scorers and stuff like that. And I'm down with that too, right? I love seeing him score goals. But I love even more when he does them on a rush, right? Just it displaying his speed, so long as he's doing it simply. You know what I mean? Like, he can blow by most of the players.
Right. I don't mind the spinoramas until they end with him like a drop pass to the other team. Like, you put all the effort in to get by the defenders. Shoot. Take just do it. Just do it.
Do it, man.
Seth Jarvis is sitting on 19 goals, so he should make our fourth 20-goal score this year.
So good.
Not to jinx him, knocking on wood.
Yeah, he's struggled a little bit lately, but yeah, he's right on the edge.
Yeah, and Andrei Svechnikov is, I think he has 3 goals in the last week or so. 4, because he had an empty net goal last night.
He had the empty netter, yeah.
He's got 15 on the year. He still has a chance. So potentially 5 20-goal scores for the Canes this year. Don't ask me why. That feels like that would really be a nice number. I would like to see that.
It sure would be. It sure would be good. And I think you can put Svechnikov in as a lock to get to 20, because there's 19 games left, including tonight. Are you saying that he's not going to score 5 times in 19 games? If he doesn't, he has stretches, but he's just, there's too much talent. There's too much talent there. And depending on where he ends up in the lineup and who he's playing with. I mean, could you imagine?
And I think Gensel makes the top 6 guy, all 5 of the other top 6 guys better. So
that's exactly.
Aho's still cooking at 1.08 points per game. Svech is next closest, other than Pano, who had one.
A solid one.
Svechnikov is at 0.95 points per game. He's been an assist player. He's been out. He's only played 40 games. I'm sorry, he only has played 42 games with 40 points. But I would expect I don't care if he gets 5 empty net goals. I would like to see the guy hit 20 goals just because.
I sure would. And your statement about Gensel making the top 6 better is brilliant, for the reason that with Gensel in the lineup, now the opposition has to change how they do their defensive pairings. And sometimes that top pairing, the shutdown guys, is just enough to keep Svech off the board. But the second pairing might be a little different, you know? And with different defensive pairings, I mean, what do we say about when Edmonton comes to town? You know, it's nice to be McDavid unless you have to play Slavin and have Slavin in your back pocket, you know, all night.
Right.
Like, he's just that's how good Slavin is. There where teams do everything they can to keep their scorers away from him.
They had a 3-on-1. Was it last? I think it was last night, and they got no shot on goal.
I know.
Thanks, Jacob Slavin.
Thank you. Keep you keep being you. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be a great rush to the playoffs. I'm really looking
forward to it. It's
And I want to feel and Caniacs, those of you who are going to the game this evening, I want to feel the chills. All right. When Kuznetsov comes out and you welcome him, I want to feel it through the TV. And you guys have done it over and over again in so many different situations where you feel the excitement through the TV. That's what I'm looking for right now.
Absolutely. I would love to see. So Kuzi did the whole like bird flapping thing in Washington, which Don Cherry called him a jerk, which should have been foreshadowing. I would love to see him come up. I would love to see him come up with something here in Carolina to be part of the storm surge.
Please do the bird. You know, please do the bird. I mean, that would be so
even the bird. Good. That's fine. If you can get Don Cherry to comment on it and call us jerks again, I would just appreciate that.
That would be so great. So great. We've covered everything, Brad. It's been a great episode. Ooh. I really like this.
Yeah.
And you know what? I still remember. There's nothing missing now. I still remember.
Man. A year this older, and he's getting better, ladies and gentlemen.
It's the excitement of Don Waddell doing what he did and shoving in this year. Thank you. And before I say it, thank you, Don. Thank you. I know he has such a tough job, and fans want so many different things. You're not going to please everyone, but for him to have the belief to go ahead and risk, right? Go ahead and take that risk.
Mm-hmm.
That means something. I wanted that last year. I attribute the fact that we didn't make it to the Stanley Cup final because we didn't do enough. Ghost Bear. He was great addition, but not enough.
Right.
This is a significant, significant trade deadline. Thank you, Don. I really appreciate you doing that.
Thanks for being in on the joke. And in case you missed it, Don Waddell starts his press conferences. We love our group, but we love it more today.
Yeah, that was, thank you, Don. Thank you, Don.
Having your finger on the pulse of the fan base is important. Hey, let's not forget Tulski in this. And also,
you're right.
And also Tom Dundon for opening the checkbook, right?
Yeah.
It's not a lot of extra money, and he's willing to spend. You know, people call him cheap, but the dude puts money on the ice.
There it is.
You can't fault him for that, so.
Not much else to be said other than go Canes.
Go Canes.
Thank you everyone for tuning in. Ray and I greatly appreciate your support in helping us produce an informative and fun podcast. As always, we'd like to say that we believe hockey is for everyone. Whether you're a Caniac or a bunch of jerks, doesn't matter, as we're just a couple of jerks anyway. We would love to hear your questions, comments, and suggestions. Do our best to answer anything hockey related. You can reach us via email at stormcellar97@gmail.com. On Twitter, we are at stormcellar97, and on Facebook at facebook.com/stormcellar97.